my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of a podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Everyone, this is episode 237 of my 1-2-3 cents, the podcast, and my guest this week, my co-host this week, is Garrett Turner, who you may know as Dexter Roswell from both Cape Championship Wrestling and Stride Pro Wrestling. And first of all, Garrett, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me on here, Kevin. I always enjoy doing the podcast with you.
Yeah, and we should note that Garrett has been on a couple of times. We talked tag team wrestling because at the time, Dexter Roswell was a co-holder of the Stride Pro Wrestling Tag Team Championships. And then a while ago, maybe a year and a half or so ago, Garrett was on too, kind of as an introduction to Dexter Roswell. But we're going to talk about the Dexter Roswell character and other wrestling characters as we, and kind of the setup for this is AEW, of course, debuted last week with, or not debuted, but held their big event out in Las Vegas last week, Double or Nothing. Jon Moxley made his debut, who was, of course, Dean Ambrose, but was Jon Moxley before that in WWE. And Chad actually came up with the idea and the suggestion of talking about some favorite characters and their transformations and ones that were hits and ones that were misses. And we're going to talk about both. But I asked Garrett to be on the show because of his role as Dexter Roswell, who will, by the way, before we get too deep into the weeds here, will be in action this Saturday night, June 8th, it is Stride Pro Wrestling Battle Bowl returning. Now, Garrett, will Dexter be in competition this Saturday night?
Dexter will be at the Battle Bowl. He will be a part of the Battle Bowl, I guess you want to call it, tournament.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just an interesting concept. Like, for me, like how we mentioned earlier with the tag team podcast and everything, I'm primarily a tag team wrestler right now. But my normal partner is Mr. Anthony. And I don't know if he'll be my tag partner whenever the time comes. So you just never know the different kind of scenarios that could come about. Like, it could be me and Axe Allworth, two completely different characters.
Yeah.
Or me and Scott Phoenix, who were former tag team champions, and now we're not really on the same side anymore.
That's the cool thing about Battle Bowl is that unpredictability because, as Garrett alluded to, there are team captains that are being announced on the Stride Pro Wrestling Facebook page, and then on Saturday night there will be a drawing to see who those captains will team with, and then it'll all come to a head at the end. And I believe General Manager Sam Hunter has the concept. I believe then the winning team faces off against each other. I don't know all the details yet. I think they are still being ironed out, and I may have said too much already. So we'll talk more
don't
about
give
that.
It away.
Say that again?
Don't give it away, Kevin.
That's why I stopped myself, because I'm not sure exactly how far Sam has announced on the Stride Pro Wrestling Facebook page. But go to strideprowrestling.com. You'll get all of those details. And I mentioned Chad earlier, too. Of course, he is the host of Positive Cynicism here on Jittery Monkey. You can check out his show every Tuesday. It drops new. And then Greg Mahochko has Nerd United. And he and Mike Luther do a great job with that podcast. And then Greg also hosts the Five Heart podcast for Nebraska Cornhusker Athletics. So check out all the shows at jitterymonkey.com and follow us, of course, on social media as well. But let's get back now to Garrett and talk to me a little bit, if you will, about your training. Obviously, you went through the Stride School. We covered that on our first podcast together. But your initial character was a guy by the name of Luke Chambers. Now, how would you describe Luke Chambers?
You know, I really don't even know how you would describe Luke Chambers, because at that time I didn't really know, like, what kind of character I wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
It was just really brought on to me at the last moment that I would be starting wrestling a little bit. So, I mean, I didn't really have anything prepared or anything like that. So I had these, like, Hardy Boy style trip pants.
Yeah.
And just a green tank top, because green's my favorite color.
Okay.
So I just put that together, and I thought the name Luke Chambers sounded cool. Apparently some people didn't think the name sounded cool, but anyway, forget about them.
So let me ask you this, though, because, you know, during training, and I've been to a couple of the classes that you and Dan now help lead the training classes, but do the guys and the girls that are coming through, it seems like some of them are very overzealous, and I'm not talking specifically about ours. I mean other trainings that I've seen as well. They come in and they have, you know, ideas of grandeur and these characters, and some of them are way over the top and whatnot. But you weren't in that situation where you were kind of had that in your mind of who you wanted to be as a character?
Right. I mean, I had ideas of, like, kind of what I wanted to be. Like, I don't know why I always wanted to be like Luke Harper, like that style of, like, not crazy type of character, but, like, you just never know what he's going to do type of thing. I always enjoyed that type of character. So I thought maybe, like, something along the lines of that, which we might kind of get into here in a little bit.
Yeah.
But, no, I didn't have anything in particular that I wanted to do. So, Tyler Hatton, he was the one who came up with the idea for Dexter Roswell. It was right around the time of the elections when Donald Trump was getting elected and everything. So it only makes sense to go for a character like that.
So how would you describe Dexter Roswell to someone who has never been to a Stride show before?
Oh, probably your typical politician. Snooty, thinks they're better than everybody else, always has excuses for why he doesn't perform at the top level. really, that's about it. Like, and I always point out he wrestles in a suit.
So how is that? Do you like wrestling in a suit?
At first, I didn't know how it would be, because obviously a suit isn't going to be as movable as, like, trunks or tights or something like that might be. But after doing it, it's been about 2.5 years now, and, like, I don't think I could wrestle in anything else. I've just got so used to it that. And one thing I really enjoyed about it as well is that it's helped me stand out.
Yeah.
Because this one thing I can't help is my size. Like, I'm not going to grow any taller than what I am now.
Right.
And in wrestling, a lot of the guys are taller and stuff like that. So you always have to have something that helps you stand out. And I think that's one of the things that helps me stand out.
I think personally, too, the piece of resistance, as they say, the thing that really I enjoy about the character and over telling that that you are kind of a dick is that once you go around and shake hands with everyone, you then get in the ring, and usually it's Mr. Anthony, but you have hand sanitizer, and you sanitize your hands in front of everybody. And that just kind of puts that extra exclamation point at the end of, you really are not a man of the people, so to speak, as you proclaim in your political spiel.
Right. I think it's where kind of like double standards come in. Mm-hmm. It's like when you think of a politician, you think of them shaking hands and kissing babies and everything like that. So that's what I do. I go around the ring and I shake everybody's hands. I don't shake kids' hands, though, because they're not old enough to vote.
I like it. Anyway,
when I get up there, I do rinse my hands of the germs of the people just because of that double standard. And it, like you said, it really, like, makes you think, oh, this guy's a dick.
Yeah. But here's the fun part of this conversation for me, at least, because I've not heard the story, and I'm curious to learn more about it. You wrestle also in Cape Championship Wrestling, and you're a heel over there, and you're still Dexter Roswell, but you have a much different look and a much different suit. So kind of explain to everyone what your character is in Cape Championship Wrestling and how that all came to be.
Okay, so back in, I think it was August of 2017, June through August, I was working for 3 months over there as Dexter Roswell, the politician, and everything like that. But after that date, like, every time they had a show, I was already booked somewhere else. So I couldn't continue doing their shows because I had already committed to another company. So they decided to, like, kill my character off, basically. They, one of their characters, Jackson Crowley, he's kind of a darker type character as well. And he sacrificed me to the pits.
Okay.
So I was dead, technically dead, for about a year. So when they decided to bring me back in about a year later, they teamed me up with Brandon Espinoza. So Brandon, he does like the face paint, like the half face paint that I do now. And so they wanted me to kind of do that as well. Like we're doing a group and everything like that. So I was the first time I was there. I actually think you were at the show when I came back.
Yeah.
I was just in my regular suit with the face paint.
Right.
So the more I thought about it, I was like, I need to take this opportunity and try to do something different. So instead of just keeping with the regular suits, I wanted to go a little bit like darker and more scarier and stuff like that. So I first initially got the white blood suit, where it's just a white suit with like blood drops all over it, which I just think it looks really cool.
Yeah.
And then I also got a zombie suit, like a gray one with like bloody handprints and everything like that. So I just think that character is similar to what like I had mentioned earlier about Luke Harper.
Yeah.
Kind of similar to how that character was. So I'm really enjoying doing that character.
So in the storyline, because I've been over to a few CCW shows since you kind of re-debuted with the blood suit and the makeup or the face paint, but is your character, did they ever come right out and say that you are undead, or is it kind of implied that you are, part of this group with Brandon? Because Brandon's character he's not been through any kind of death experience, right?
Correct. I think that what me and SB, we joke about is everybody gets one chance to bring somebody back from the dead, and he brought me back from the dead. So it's kind of implied, yes, that I'm undead and everything like that, and that I'm here to help out SB and get myself over and everything like that, and that it's not about being the good guy or being what everybody wants me to be type of thing. It's like I'm going to do what I want to do, and you're going to have to deal with it.
So correct me if I'm wrong, your character in Cape, you're a bit more vicious. You don't do the whole make wrestling great again and go around and shake hands like you do in Cape or over here in Southern Illinois, but you're a heel in both companies, right?
That is correct.
Okay. Is it difficult to do the same character but with different characteristics? Or I'm assuming, you know, you're obviously a smart man. You don't get over there and try to do things over here that you would do over there and vice versa.
Right. Like, really, it's not that difficult. Like, with this character in Cape, it's allowing me to work on being more vicious in the ring. Because with Dexter, yes, technically I could be more vicious, but then at the same time you have to keep in mind that you're still a politician, and the ultimate goal in reality is that you would want to get people's votes.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case with Dexter and Cape, I don't have to worry about that. So like I've been able to just like work on being more vicious and just like different like facial expressions and stuff like that that I wouldn't be able to do with Dexter in Illinois. So at times it can be difficult, but like I'm really enjoying it just because it is something different, and it is challenging for me to try to separate the two characters even though they're kind of the same.
It is. It's neat, and like we said, on June 8th, you'll be able to see Dexter Roswell's Stride version, and then I know Cape Championship Wrestling has a show, I believe, on June 25th over in Cape Girardeau. You can check out Cape Wrestling on social media and see the undead, a bit more evil version of Dexter Roswell. So this is why I picked Garrett to be a part of this particular podcast, because we're going to talk more about some of those characters who have transitioned from different names. When I pitched the idea and Garrett told me who he was going to talk about, one of them that I had completely forgotten about. So we'll talk a little bit about that here in just a second. But Garrett, why don't you start us off and we'll talk about some of our favorites and then some that were kind of maybe misses for us. And who are some of your, tell me one of yours that you really liked going from one character to another, and it may have been a company jump, or it may have just been a change in creative throughout the company itself.
Yeah, one thing just to like add on top of this topic before we get going is like repackaging doesn't necessarily mean that it's two completely different characters. Sometimes It could just be something as simple as like a few different character changes, but overall the same character.
Yeah.
So there's different ways you can classify a repackaging or however you want to say it. But like one that I mentioned, Stone Cold.
Yeah.
So he went from Stunning Steve Austin in WCW, which wasn't, he did fairly well in there. And then when they brought him to WWF at the time, he was the Ringmaster.
Yeah.
With Ted DiBiase, which, I don't know, like, I just don't know how far, like, that character would have went. But now we all know Stone Cold as Stone Cold Steve Austin, the Hellraiser that was anti-authority and that would always stun Mr. McMahon on every Raw that everybody wanted to see. So I think, honestly, that's probably one of the biggest, like, good repackaging that anybody could do.
Yeah, and this is the one that I actually had kind of gone off my radar, which I don't understand because Stone Cold is, you know, one of the all-time greats and one of my favorites. And, you know, I can remember Steve when he was wrestling in World Class as Stunning Steve and, you know, transitioning to WCW where he kind of kept the same character and had the same valet, which was his wife at the time. But yeah, that transition into WWE, WWF, for some reason, you know, sometimes the guys come in and you know, they completely distance themselves from the original character. Now, I always thought it would have been when Austin turned on WWF during the invasion angle, I thought it would have been fun if he would have went back to being Stunning Steve Austin to fit the WCW mold. But I know, obviously, you know, I don't think he could have grown his hair back at that point. And but even for a minute, you know, I just thought it would have been fun. But I get that having him as, you know, people loved him as Stone Cold Steve Austin, and then to see him kind of turn his back on the fans and on WWF and Vince McMahon, you know, it all worked out in the end. But Austin, yeah, definitely one of those guys that was really good. I thought of someone, actually, you just triggered a thought for me on this one, and that's Husky Harris going from Husky Harris to Bray Wyatt. Husky Harris was a part of NXT back when it was a kind of a reality competition show. He was on season 2, and, you know, I liked the Husky Harris character. I thought he was pretty decent in the ring for a guy of his size and whatnot. However, going back into developmental and into NXT at that time and finding this Wyatt family character and Bray Wyatt, to even now to where we're doing the Firefly Funhouse, and I feel like the character, like you said, you don't have to necessarily change the name and just add or tweak parts of the gimmick. I'm on board with many fans who are enjoying these vignettes and segments. It's going to be interesting, though, to see how that then translates into the ring. Will the character have changed significantly, or are we just going to see a more that kind of Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde mentality with Bray Wyatt?
Right, and one thing with Bray Wyatt, like with the Husky Harris character, like, he didn't really have a per se character, it was just him.
You're right.
So it's hard to go off and, like, build storylines years in advance with just a person. Sometimes it takes a character to do that. It's like how we talked earlier with Luke Chambers. Tyler will be the first to tell you that he wouldn't have really anything to do for Luke Chambers going forward for the most part because there wasn't really a story behind him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where Dexter Roswell had a story and stuff like that. So it's similar in that way, at least in my thinking.
Yeah, let me ask you this, because they always say, you know, a wrestling personality is the performer's attitude and personality, but cranked up to an 11. So, you know, Steve Austin, I think that Steve Austin, you know, is pretty similar to the real life Steve Williams who plays that Steve Austin character. Now, obviously, The Undertaker isn't really dead. And, you know, we talked about Husky Harris turning into Bray Wyatt. His father, of course, was Mike Rotundo, a championship wrestler in college who then became IRS. And, you know, obviously Mike Rotundo was not, you know, there's a difference, I guess, from going from a character to a gimmick. Where would you rate Dexter Roswell, though, in terms of who Garrett Turner is? Is he an extension of your personality, or do you get into a whole different role when you're doing Dexter Roswell?
Really, I get into a whole different role. Mm-hmm. Like, I've heard over the years being in wrestling that, like, it's your, basically your personality bumped up to a 10, 11, 12, 13, whatever you want to do. But, like, for me, I personally don't like politics at all. Mm. It annoys me, like, all the commercials when you're bad-mouthing the other person. I'm like, at least talk about the issues, not bad-mouthing each other.
Right.
But, like, for me, like, it's almost like a complete 180-degree flip. Like, I like to think I'm a pretty nice guy.
Yes.
But Dexter, he's an asshole.
Yes, yes.
Which I think that's almost kind of like an outlet for me, where, like, I couldn't make myself be, like, an asshole to people and be mean to them.
Right.
I kind of do that through Dexter.
I like that. Yeah, totally, totally. So who else is someone that you have enjoyed their kind of transition from one persona to another?
Me, with my thinking, like, I grew up in the Attitude Era, so that's the main ones that I remember. The Rock. Mm. Rocky Maivia.
Yes.
Turned into the Great One. The People's Champion, The Rock. Like, that's one of the big ones for me, because, like, whenever he was doing Rocky Maivia, the crowd would chant, "Die, Rocky, die." So they had to do something at that point, and I think that was the best thing that happened for The Rock.
Yeah, it was such a, you know, when we saw him coming in and they gave him the name and told the lineage and the story. I mean, this was the ultimate babyface story. I mean, how could you boo a guy whose father and grandfather, he's taken their names and melded them together and is creating this first time third generation superstar who, you know, obviously had the look and you know, was just kind of that blue chipper, as Jim Ross used to call him. But then it just flopped with the fans. And I think it's part of that. They were trying to force feed us this wholesome guy that it just didn't work.
Yeah. And I think if, like, any wrestling company pushes too hard for one person, the crowd will eventually turn on them, because, like, in the world that we live in now, all the wrestling fans basically know what's going on for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to, like, get them to cheer for the person that you want them to cheer for, because they have their own opinions or they don't go along with the status quo anymore. So if they push really hard for somebody, I mean, a key example is Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Before the leukemia diagnosis, which I think it's gotten quite a bit better now. The fans aren't as vocally hatred toward him.
Yeah.
But before that, the crowd just, like, did not want anything to do with it, because he was being force-fed down everybody's throat. And that doesn't mean that he's a bad wrestler or a bad character or anything like that. It's just not what the fans are wanting at that time.
Right, yeah. Timing is everything, I think, in all walks of life. And, you know, on The Rock, who would have thought 20-plus years ago that he would become, you know, that Rocky Maivia cookie-cutter babyface guy would be one of, if not the biggest action stars in Hollywood right now. I mean, he is, you know, he's transcended and crossed those lines that, you know, Hulk Hogan tried to do, Rowdy Roddy Piper tried to do, Jesse Ventura tried to do, going into Hollywood and really making wrestling not a, you know, oh, it's a wrestler in a movie, who wants to see that, to a, yep. you know, Dwayne Johnson is a bona fide star.
Yeah, because now there's a generation of people that don't know Dwayne Johnson as The Rock. They just know him as Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah.
So that just speaks to his ability to be a good actor and be able to separate himself from wrestling as well.
Yeah, you know, you catch that lightning in a bottle and you run with it and you ride it. And Dwayne Johnson has certainly done an excellent job with that. Someone else who did a great job transitioning from what I considered a great wrestler, but a personality-wise, I didn't see it and didn't click with is Dustin Rhodes. And, you know, in WCW, and even, you know, he wrestled very, very briefly in WWF with Dusty Rhodes in late 90 and early 91, just as Dustin Rhodes. But then fast forward to 1995 when he goes back to the WWF after being fired by WCW. And we get a character called Goldust, who up until this year has been a part of wrestling. And that character, you know, coming in as the androgynous, you know, and I always maintain that Goldust was ahead of his time in terms of when that character first came to WWF, because in 95 it was still kind of Doink the Clown and Duke the Dumpster Drosy, and, yeah, you know, you had all these silly gimmicks. But Goldust quickly, and to me, is still my favorite quote-unquote gimmicked wrestler out there, just because it was something different. It took the world by storm. And then, credit to Dustin, he was able to go with the ebbs and flows of the business, like The Undertaker, like Kane. You have the same character or the same name, but you are able to then tweak it and adjust it and kind of go and roll with the punches with what is trendy or popular or what is happening now. And I'll be curious to see, because, you know, Goldust gave Dustin new life. I'm wondering, now that he's in AEW, will that Dustin Rhodes character... Obviously, I think he's already different than what he was back in 93, 94, 95 when he was wrestling for WCW. I don't understand why he's still doing the face paint, but I'm curious to see what the future holds. And I know Dustin is probably not going to be wrestling much longer. He's kind of hinted at that himself. But I don't think Dustin Rhodes 20-plus years ago would have had the sustainability and the survival rate of a Goldust character. I think Goldust prolonged Dustin's in-ring career personally.
Mm-hmm. And as far as AEW, at least like with the face paint, though, I think it's like, because that's what he's been most known for the probably the last, what, 20 years
mm-hmm.
or more. So I think that's just a way to have the casual fans still know, like, hey, this is Goldust, but it's not Goldust anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know he did, you know, he left WWF a few times in between, you know, there and went back to WCW and tried that horrible Seven gimmick, which he.
Yeah, I was going to bring up, like, it's funny that you brought up Goldust as one of your favorites, because he's one of my favorite repackagings as well, but he's also one of my least favorites
yeah.
as well.
So talk a little bit about that.
Seven, and when he went to TNA, he was Black Rain and stuff like that. So he's a prime example of somebody who could be like, who could benefit from the repackaging, but also got hurt from it as well.
Yeah, because do you think, you know, when... And I don't even remember. I just remember the vignettes for Seven, and I remember the promo, of course, when he came out to the ring during Nitro and you know, pretty much crapped all over it. Did he stick around in WCW after that and wrestle as Dustin? I feel like he was back in WWF before too long after that.
I think he was, too, because wasn't that – oh, I don't even remember what time frame that was.
Yeah. Well, I think Vince Russo – had been with WCW, so it had to have been like late 99, early 2000, somewhere in that time frame, maybe.
Yeah, because I think he came back around, was it during the end of the invasion angle?
Yeah, because he and Booker T became a tag team at some point too, and won the tag team title. So yeah, it's a weird timeline with him, and I feel like there was a period where he just wasn't wrestling at all.
Yeah, and I mean, and like I said, that's a prime example of somebody who can benefit and be a detriment from a repackaging. And I think that is with a lot of people, too. Like, one of the people I think, like, that had both was Kane.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was Dr. Isaac Yankum when he first came into WWE around 93 or 94. And then they repackaged him later on as Kane, which I think that was probably the best thing that could have happened to Glenn Jacobs at that time for wrestling.
Yeah.
But as the time went on and you get into the, like, 2011, 2012, they repackaged him as corporate Kane, which it's, I don't know, like, I'm so used to Kane being Kane with the mask or, like, the red and black suits and everything, like, the attire and everything, and then he's wrestling in dress pants.
Yeah.
Coming from somebody who wrestles in dress pants.
Right.
But it was just weird seeing Kane in that type of character.
Yeah, and he, you know, he was one of those guys too that had several misses before he finally got that hit, because in Smoky Mountain he was pretty good as Unabomb, and then wrestled, of course, as the Christmas Creature for a brief period, and then, as you mentioned, Isaac Yankum, and then the Fake Diesel, which was atrocious as well. But it was kind of, you know, it's interesting how some of these guys, you know, when you see Kane debut, I mean, he was awesome and amazing, but I didn't think he was going to have a 20-year career as that character. It's kind of like Goldust, and it's kind of like we mentioned The Undertaker. I mean, I can remember The Undertaker coming in 1990 and being like, okay, this is just another big gimmick guy who, you know, 9 months from now or a year from now will be, you know, putting over, you know, Bret Hart and those kinds of guys. So, you know, that longevity, and I think part of it is the creative, but I think a lot of it too is the persistence and says something for the men behind those characters.
Yeah, I was about to say the exact same thing. It shows the testament to their ability to get that character over, because, like, with me and my character, can sometimes get stale. Mm-hmm. But you have to, like you said, go with the times and change things up, and that's what Goldust, Kane, Undertaker, they all did at the appropriate times, and I think that's one of the reasons why they have had such prolonged careers.
Yeah, and you know, someone else who has had, you know, been those many different characters is, I guess we'll settle on The Godfather, because he's the one that officially went into the WWE Hall of Fame, but he had several, and I always, you know, I liked him as Papa Shango. I know it was cheesy, and that was wrestling at that time. It was still, you know, that voodoo master who, you know, had attacked the Ultimate Warrior. Now, I never saw him as a main event player, and it was interesting pairing him up with the Ultimate Warrior at that time. But, you know, at that point, they were desperate for bad guys too. On the roster. So he was maybe a little over the top. I did not like him as Kama the Fighting Machine. And then he kind of transitioned from that under Ted DiBiase's Million Dollar Corporation and going into the Nation of Domination as just Kama. I liked that character. He was, even though he was the same name, he kind of tweaked and wasn't that UFC-ish character. But then, you know, I think most fans would agree The Godfather was definitely the most popular and most over of those incarnations. And then we won't even talk about The Good Father and the debacle that became.
Oh, we don't want to talk about the RTC?
You know, that seems like a group that Dexter Roswell would have been a great member of, too.
Oh, maybe. Different times
for sure. So, talk to me about some of the others that you have on your list, either good or bad.
We talked about, Undertaker is obviously one of the good, and I know we already mentioned him kind of already.
So let me ask you about The Undertaker, because we talk about how some of these guys did transition. What's your favorite incarnation of The Undertaker? Was it the Dead Man, or was it the American Badass, or where do you stand on all of his kind of ebbs and flows too?
Dead Man, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think, like, kind of like in the mid-90s was probably my favorite, and then into the Attitude Era, which I was a fan of the American Badass as well. So he really was able to transition and get over whatever incarnation of Undertaker it was, and it fit perfectly for the time, because, like, Undertaker I don't think would ever get stale as the dead man,
mm-hmm.
but he knew it was time to do something different, and that's what he did with the American Badass. And then when he knew that one was getting stale, he brought the other one back. So for me, the Dead Man is better.
Yeah, and I think American Badass, too, like we talked about, that having your personality and amping it up, because I don't think he was going around and embalming people and putting them in body bags like he was doing in those early years of the gimmick, but yeah. I liked it. Who else do you have on your list?
I'll go with some of, like, the worst transitions now.
Okay.
One of the first ones I could think of, just because of how popular he is right now as himself, is Cody Rhodes.
Okay.
So we had Cody Rhodes as the young upstart part of Legacy and everything like that, and then they turned him to Stardust.
Yeah.
Which went nowhere. Which I think they could have went somewhere with it, but I think they were banking too much off of Goldust.
Yeah.
Character to do that. And Cody is his own separate entity, and he doesn't need to be compared to his brother because he is different and their styles are different and everything like that. And it just didn't go anywhere. You can tell that Cody just wasn't happy with the character. So I'm glad that he kind of went away from WWE and kind of just like made his own path and look at where he's at now.
Yeah, yeah.
Who else did I have? I had Devon of Team 3D, the Dudley Boys, whatever you want to call them, too. Uh-huh. Brother Devon. During the brand split of, I think it was, what, 2002?
Yes.
Him and Bubba Ray got split up. And you see this with tag teams every now and then. Like, one is obviously a bigger character, like, in the fans' eyes than the others. And that's nothing to do with any of them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the Hardy Boys. Jeff Hardy is usually the one that most people think of.
Yeah.
Edge and Christian is usually Edge. The Rockers, Shawn Michaels, is the more standout of the two. And in this case, with the Dudley Boys, Bubba had more opportunities than Devon did.
Yeah.
In my eyes, at least. And even after the fact, whenever they went to TNA and stuff like that, Bubba was always the one that got more of a push. So when they tried that with Devon in 2002 on SmackDown, his brother Devon, I just don't think it was the right timing for it. Now, if it was during maybe the Attitude Era, I think it may have been better just because of those types of characters. You saw them more during that time. But it just did not go over, and that's why they only kept with it for about 6 months, and then they put the Dudley Boys back together.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, they split these tag teams up, and, you know, for me, another one from when I was growing up and watching wrestling was Demolition. You know, when they finally split up Axe and Crush, I'm sorry, Smash and Crush, Axe had already left the company. Crush kept the name and became Kona Crush, which I liked the Kona Crush character. In fact, it's my favorite incarnation of Crush, between Demolition Crush and then the DOA Disciples of Apocalypse and the when he was part of the Nation of Domination too. I liked the orange and purple and yellow Kona Crush Hawaiian guy. But then Smash, you know, he went from Smash to the Repo Man and then left and went to WCW, and they didn't really do much better with him either, with the Blacktop Bully and then Max, or it wasn't Max Payne, but it was something Payne with a golf gimmick. And it just, you know, to me, I feel like obviously his best years were as Smash, but yeah. Even before that, he played Crusher Khrushchev and teamed with the Koloffs as a Russian sympathizer. So he's another one of those guys who, Barry Darso, who has had, you know, those ups and downs, but definitely as Smash of Demolition was my favorite incarnation. But someone else who they kind of, and I'm not blaming WWE, but they take these guys who were pretty over as themselves, or as, you know, Barry Windham is who I'm going to get to here. You know, he was in WWF. I remember Barry Windham catching my eye at the very first time in 83, 84, when he was teaming with Mike Rotundo, and they won the tag team titles, of course. He didn't stick around long and then went back to the NWA, where he, of course, became a member of the Four Horsemen. And then went back to WWF, where the first incarnation of him, he was just known as the Widowmaker. They never referred to him as Barry Windham, which it's like, okay, this guy was your tag team champion. We know who he is. Let him be himself. But then when he came back again in the, you know, late 95, early 96, he was the Stalker, and he wore camouflage makeup and camouflage clothes and was supposed to be a hunter. And it just, to me, it just flopped, and it was not, you know, it was not, you know, because Barry Windham back in, you know, 84, 85 was one of my favorite wrestlers at the time. But then, yeah, you know, 12 years later, he's this shell of his former self, and I just never liked it.
Yeah, and this speaks to how bad of a repackaging it was. Like, you know how much I know about wrestling. Mm-hmm. I vaguely remember the Stalker.
Yeah.
The only reason why I remembered him from you talking about him was when you said that he was in all camo, and I just remember seeing a picture of that. That's the only thing I remember of that. And that shows how bad of a repackaging that was for Barry Windham.
Yeah, absolutely. So do you have any other guys that or transitions that were not so good?
I got a few more bad ones. Sure. There's, you always think of the bad. One thing, like, this one doesn't even encase just one person. What I hate is when they build up this, like, larger-than-life superstar, like, with size, like a Great Khali, a Vladimir Kozlov, or somebody like that, where they're supposed to be a serious threat and everything like that, and then they, like, devolve them down to the comedy character.
Mm-hmm.
I hate when they do that. I get when, like, having to change things up a little bit, but if you have somebody with that imposing of a size, just try, like, take them off TV for a few months and then bring them back kind of the same character where they're still a monster, but not to where they're doing a the Khali kiss cam,
mm-hmm.
or like different things like that. Like, no, just don't do that. That's always been like a personal pet peeve of mine.
Yeah, that's a good classification too. I can remember way back when, this would have been probably 85-ish, 86, Ray Traylor, who we know became the Big Boss Man, was in the NWA, and he was enhancement talent. You know, I remember watching him wrestle Tully Blanchard, and Tully Blanchard hits him with that slingshot suplex and beats him. And, you know, Ray Traylor was not much of a, you know, like I said, enhancement talent. Well, Dusty Rhodes was booking at the time and saw something in him, and they took him off TV for a bit and brought him back as Big Bubba Rogers, who was Jim Cornette's bodyguard, and then we see this tougher, you know, this gimmick with him. And then, of course, he goes, jumps to WWF and is the Big Boss Man, a prison guard who is just brutal and whatnot. And, you know, he was another one of those guys I felt like kind of transitioned from this vicious heel to a good guy, but still kind of held that core, you know, doing things that were right. Didn't really change the character too terribly much. I loved the Big Boss Man, the late 80s, early 90s version of him. And then, of course, he jumped back to WCW, and I think because he had had so much success as the Big Boss Man, but they couldn't use that, they wanted to kind of replicate that, and it just never translated very well during his second run with WCW. And then, of course, he comes back to WWF as a darker version of the Big Boss Man. But he's one of those guys, and I know we're talking about ones that were misses, but I liked the WWF versions of him. I think WCW, and that's not to say WWF didn't screw up guys. We just talked about Barry Windham, but I felt like WCW just could never, after he was Big Bubba Rogers that first run, they just couldn't get it right with him after that.
Yeah, and then finally, the one that I've got to end on as far as the bad ones, Chavo Guerrero as Kerwin White.
Yeah.
Not only was that just bad, that was just offensive.
Yeah, I don't understand why they tried that one, but what didn't you like about it, besides everything?
everything. No, like, Chavo, he's a great wrestler in that, and, like, he was coming off of, like, winning multiple cruiserweight titles and stuff like that, and then they move him over to Raw and stick him with this, like, elitist, like, I don't even know how you want to, like, classify the character, but he was, when your slogan is, if it isn't right, it isn't right.
Yeah.
That's when you know, like, you just should not do that. Like, just don't. Like, oh, like, it just didn't fit Chavo's character, like, personality either. Like, I just don't know. I just didn't like it.
Do you think that they thought this was going to get him out of, and I hate to use the term, but, you know, out of Eddie Guerrero's shadow? Because Eddie was obviously the greatest of the Guerreros and was still very prominent. And I think he had just won the WWE Championship. Were they trying, you know, but then you have other, you know, you had Bret and Owen Hart still wrestling at the same time. And you know, they didn't have to drastically change Owen's name and character.
Right.
Why do you think that was? That what was it about Chavo? Because I don't think WWE did not use, I don't think they ever really used Chavo the way he should have been used or could have been used. compared to WCW, that is.
See, I think it was more like right around like 2005 when they did this character.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason why is I remember they like almost immediately dropped it once Eddie died.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
You can I remember seeing everybody up on the stage and seeing Chavo still with his like white hair and stuff like that because he was still in that character, but they quickly changed it after that.
Yeah.
So they might have, they probably did it to try to get him out of Eddie's shadow.
Yeah.
But obviously that didn't work, and they went back whenever, after Eddie died. But, I don't know, I'm just glad that they got away from that.
Yeah, I agree. And my last bad one, if you will, is Johnny B. Badd going from Johnny B. Badd to just Mark Merrow. And this is kind of an opposite effect, I think, of Dustin Rhodes and Goldust, where we saw Dustin Rhodes get new life as Goldust because he was playing this character that really wasn't him. I felt like Johnny B. Badd in WCW was great. I loved the gimmick. I loved the character. And I think, you know, and I've heard other podcasts where, you know, people that were in the know with Vince McMahon said that when they signed, you know, Mark Merrow, they were hoping to get that Johnny B. Badd character or some variety of it. But I guess it was trademarked by WCW, so good on them. So they just went with Mark Merrow. And then they tried the Marvelous Mark Merrow, which I liked a little bit better than just the Mark Merrow character. But for whatever reason, you know, Mark Merrow, I guess it's harder to play yourself or at least to get over as yourself than it is as an over-the-top character like a Johnny B. Badd.
Yep, I can sympathize with that.
So, yeah, those are some of ours. Garrett, is there anything else you want to pitch or get out there before we kind of wrap up this week's episode?
No, not really. I mean, obviously, like, with wrestlers, it's, like, sometimes it's hard to tell when a character goes stale.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have that wherewithal to know that something isn't clicking anymore, always try to do something different. Try other things, like, if you're not trying, what are you doing? So, like, put yourself out there. Try to do other things. And if it doesn't work, go on to something else. Go back to the original one, something like that. But don't ever just stay in one spot. Always try to grow and be better, basically.
Yeah, that's a great point because I think as fans, you know, obviously our perceptions and thoughts change on the product. Our preferences change, so it's only natural that the characters, because, you know, it's not like a TV show where it may run 4 or 5 seasons and then it gets canceled. With wrestling, these characters are around for, in some cases, decades, so it's important to listen to your audience and make those appropriate changes so you get some longevity and some viability out of your career.
Exactly. Like, for me, I hope Dexter Roswell, the politician, continues, but you never know. Maybe in stride, maybe one day we'll see evil Dexter.
Yeah, it'll be a good thing, and especially with the 2020 election, and I think things are going to heat up on the political scene, too, which will probably provide some fodder for the Dexter Roswell character over in Stride Pro Wrestling. So the next few months will be great for sure, and Garrett, I appreciate you being a part of the show and wish you continued success inside the ring.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for having me on here, and I look forward to seeing you next Saturday.
Absolutely. Again, Stride Pro Wrestling returns to the center in Carterville. Go to strideprowrestling.com for all those details. Friends, thanks so much for making this a part of your week, and enjoy the rest of your day.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.